Hey, hey, welcome everyone. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's opening day week. I can't believe it, but here we are. It's Monday, July 20th, and there's supposed to be baseball starting on Thursday. The 2020 baseball season looks like it's going to start. Let's hope it can get to a finish safely. And man, this could be a really exciting year if they can pull this off. I'm Scott Pianowski, your co-host, and I'm joined by a man, all things baseball, all things handicapping, all things illumination, Mr. Dalton Del Don. Aloha.
What's going on, Scott? I can't believe it. We actually gonna see some baseball soon. It's exciting, man. And I mean, it's gonna be weird. And I've seen some highlights. I've not turned on a game yet with no fans, and it's gonna be bizarre. But man, I'm pumped up. I have a couple drafts still the next 2 days, and I've done one over the weekend. And I mean, I know it's all weird, and who knows how it's gonna shake out. But at least for now, I'm excited.
Now, be honest, if you looked at the first time you looked at your teams that you drafted, say in March, what percentage of the players did you actually remember rostering?
Yeah, I did too many fantasy leagues. I was knee deep in fantasy football. I have a short term memory problem to begin with. So honestly, yeah, it's a blur. And some leagues we ended up playing out. Other, an NFBC canceled out a bunch. So yeah, not a lot. We're moving forward. The past of the past. So yeah, the answer is it's been a blur, man, this whole quarantine.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a de facto season preview, and basically this is going to be a speed round podcast. What we're going to do is we're going to hit all 30 teams, and Dalton and I are going to give you a quick hit. We're going to give you a stat, a prediction, just something about that team that we think might be portable for you, whether you have a draft coming up or you have maintenance to consider or you just want to think about what's going to happen this year. So we're going to try to hit all 30 teams, and then at the end when we get to our draft, we're going to draft things that have helped us stay on an even keel during the pandemic, just the small things that have kept us emotionally buoyant over the last few months. Hasn't been easy at times, but let's jump right into it. We'll start in the NL East with our preview, and we'll start with the defending champion Washington Nationals. Man, what a loaded rotation. I like Patrick Corbin a lot more at his price, which is about 20 picks cheaper in NFBC right now than Steven Strasburg. I'm a big Corbin guy. I view Howie Kendrick as one of the winners of the Universal DH to the point that I think I've gotten a little bit irrational about it. And a bold prediction I'll make is that Daniel Hudson is going to lead this team in saves. Dalton, what do you got on the Nats?
I'm so in with you with Kendrick. I know everyone has predicted the batting title. He actually hit .342 last year, which would have won it had he qualified. But yeah, the Universal DH qualified at second base, I believe, in Yahoo. So the other second baseman on this team I like is Starlin Castro. Quietly hit 22 homers last year in Miami, and it should not be underestimated the difference in parks here. It's easy to throw around hitter's parks, pitcher's park, but he's going from one extreme to another, and he might hit either in front or behind Juan Soto. So I love Kendrick and Castro, their prices, middle infielders in the Nationals. And again, underrated. That's a great hitter's park, right? Right after Colorado, it's a big gap. Then Texas, which who knows, is a new park. And then it's Washington that's increased run scoring the next most over the last 3 years.
I did not know that. We actually, DJ Short, our friend and Roto-World colleague, when we did a sim league, we had everybody's home park as Washington because I think they thought it was neutral.
Oh, no.
So yeah. If that's trended up to an offensive park, I'm embarrassed to say I'm a little bit behind that data. But I'm picking them to win the division. By the way, everybody should read. Dalton came out with his National League predictions on Monday, and I know the American League are not that far behind. You did not pick the Nationals to win the division. I like Washington coming first. I'm going to pick Atlanta to come second in this division. And all this young talent, but the guy who's catching my eye, and I talked about him a lot in March, is Dansby Swanson. At one point, a top five prospect. Last year, he was putting together. He was really having a breakout season, had monster numbers at the break. And then he got hurt in the second half, and he basically went in the toilet. If he was able to maintain the pace he had put up for 3 months, that's a significant sample. We talk about somebody who'd be like a fourth or fifth round pick right now. I think it's a little bit lost in the shuffle just because there's so much other glittering talent that you see on this roster. And, of course, Freddie Freeman, this is a guy who seems like overdue for an MVP award. Acuna could be the first pick in any draft tonight. But I think even in the deepest shortstop league year I can ever remember, I think you're going to want Dansby Swanson this year.
I promise we will differ, but I'm totally with you here. Dansby Swanson's been on a lot of my teams. Former number one overall pick, so the pedigree's there. He will not be this cheap in draft tables for many years after this. He's 2010, basically, last year in 125 games. Yeah, I'm totally in. It doesn't matter if he hits to the bottom of the lineup, an NL lineup, as much, you know, in the past. I'll give you a really, really deep name quick. This is really ugly, and he won't go all the deepest league. But Adam Duvall, Yasiel Puig not signed there, and Markakis opting out. They're at bats. If you're looking for cheap power with Universal DH, I know it'll be just repeat that term, but Adam Duvall is a guy to watch out there. If their bats come, he's the guy that could just go crazy in a small sample in the power department.
And I love the point. We've made it some on this podcast, but it bears repeating. The Universal DH doesn't just help the people who get those DH at-bats, but it helps the people who are tied to the bottom, anchored maybe to the middle of the bottom of a National League lineup, because then they don't have to deal with the pitcher in that dead spot or, you know, the weak pinch hitter sometimes that comes up. It just means that lineup's going to cycle through more often. It will open up stolen base opportunities at times. So a lot of people benefit from that, not just the most direct and obvious ones. Now, I saw it's interesting in your National League preview that you predicted the Mets to win this division. I kind of think they're the baseball's version of the Chargers. All this talent on paper, but something always seems to go wrong. A couple of Mets I do have my eye on. Jeff McNeil started to get a little bit pricey. He snuck up to 90 ADP in drafts this month, qualifies at three positions, but I still like McNeil. I think we talk about guys who could maybe flirt with 400 in a short season. I think he's on that list. JD Davis was mispriced the entire spring, and now people see the at-bats are going to be there. He's around pick 160 in NFBC formats this month, but I think Davis is still a bargain, and I think McNeil's a guy who will probably be drafting 30 or 40 picks earlier next year.
Yeah, I have all the top three teams in this division very, very closely, but I did go with the Mets. There's a lot of interesting names on this team. I'll say Ahmed Rosario is another shortstop I've been finding I like at his price. Cespedes, if he's healthy, who knows, an interesting bat. And another real deep sleeper, I'm going to say Robinson Cano. If it's true and he really does hit in the middle of that lineup, and no one wants Cano, but he had an 880 OPS after the All-Star break last year. And again, I don't know, these you know, former great hitters. So if you want to get ugly, Cano, if you want for maybe a future breakout, it's Ahmed Rosario.
Yeah, I toyed with drafting overrated athletes this week, and I couldn't remember if we've done that in the 2 years of this podcast. I think we might have, because I seem to remember talking down Jerome Bettis and Eli Manning on this. But if he did overrated athletes for baseball, and it's not that he's not good, but I wonder how early I would draft Bryce Harper on that list. And I was wondering today, who do you think is going to get sick of that long-term contract first? Is Harper going to get itchy to get out of Philadelphia, or are the Phillies going to want to get away from Harper with, you know, that monster, 13-year deal that he signed? How do you see that playing out? I mean, this is not really a prediction for 2020, but I have a feeling this is going to maybe turn into an A-Rod Texas situation where they're both going to kind of get sick of each other. Do you see a long, happy marriage for Harper and the Phillies?
No, it's a long deal. And at fantasy terms, he's more interesting with he's been running lately. But yeah, no, I do not see that ending well. And then, the Philly fans are notorious for being patient and whatnot. Probably not going to. Yeah, I assume that they're going to not be super happy at the end of that contract. But I don't know. Personally, I'm taking pitchers so early in fantasy drafts. I just haven't had to make that decision. Someone just asked me on Twitter, him or Marte. I'm with you, kind of. He's not going to end up on many of my teams this year, basically.
There was one rookie, though, on Philadelphia that I know has caught your eye. You want to promote him for a second?
Scott Kingery?
I thought it was Spencer Howard.
Oh, Howard. Sorry. Yeah. Spencer Howard is 60-1 the latest odds to win rookie of the year. And Gavin Lux, a prohibitive favorite, isn't even guaranteed to be the regular starter there in the Dodgers. And if Howard right away gets in the rotation, interesting numbers of the minor. You never know. I'm rookie pitchers, whatever. But based on the competition and at those long odds, yeah, I liked Howard. Sorry about that.
Now, nobody thinks the Marlins are going to compete in this division, but fences moved in, and Jonathan Villar is one of those guys. We have to mind the gap, the difference between real life value and fantasy value. He qualifies the second shortstop. He's going to play the outfield this year, so he'll pick up a third position. We know he'll run. He has that DGAF approach to running. I think he's a perfect third or fourth round pick, at least worth consideration. And then they have some boring vets I like here. I think Brian Anderson offers value. If Kinsler can be their closer, Caleb Smith is a nice strikeout source. There are some really bad teams in baseball that I don't really want to touch. I can at least find three or four Marlins I can talk myself into.
Yeah, I'll say Pablo Lopez, even if you want to just start him at home. Last year, 1.08 whip, 3.39 ERA, and he showed increased velocity, was returning from surgery, so he could get even better. It does remain to be seen how the park's going to play. It's been so extreme for pitchers, but they changed the dimensions a little bit. But Pablo Lopez, who's available very, very late in drafts.
you know, I'm trying to understand as we transition to the NL Central universal DH, you think of that maybe helping Ryan Braun, who can have trouble staying on the field, doesn't really have defensive value anymore. And his NFBC ADP, which I'm referring to because we can cut it down to what's happened this past month. He's around pick 200. Okay, that's fine. I see Justin Smoke at pick 430. He hasn't gone any earlier than pick 253. He's a switch hitter, has decent power. I think Smoke is just a giveaway right now.
Love Smoke. Milwaukee, another great hitter's park. I like Avisail Garcia, who produced, I think he'll produce similar stats to Braun at a cheaper price. Braun banged up. I love Braun, and I definitely get it with the DH avail opening up the at-bats there. But, man, he's already banged up, and he's obviously older. So Garcia coming to a much better hitter's environment than he's been used to. I like him as well, but yeah, Smoke's even cheaper. All another sleeper on the pitcher side, Corbin Burnes, velocity up, not even guaranteed a starting spot right now. But I could see him, you know, getting off to a hot start and people falling over themselves in the waiver wire going after him.
I know a lot of people are interested in the Reds as a possible division winner, and I think they were the team that you picked to win the NL Central. And I look at guys like Castellanos and Moustakas, who I think, look, they always have been tied to those middle America, unsexy markets. There's nothing sexy about the Royals, even they did win a World Series not that long ago. Castellanos, you know, toiled with the Detroit team that was often anonymous. I look at Moustakas specifically. He's around pick 100 right now, qualifies at second and third base. And even though he moved to second base last year, which is a more demanding position than third, it didn't affect his offense at all. Surprisingly did not get a boost from Milwaukee. You would think that park would favor him. But now he goes to Cincinnati, another hitter's park. I think they're just giving you a huge value for Moustakas. If you can get him as like your seventh or, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth best hitter, I think you've done very well.
Totally agree. The power at second base there for sure. In on Moose. Castellanos as well. I know everyone's favorite sleeper, but Casey Bubba did a tweet, you know, looking at the fly ball distance, and based on Detroit and his new park, just so many doubles he hit would now be home runs. So he's interesting. And Nick Senzel, former, number two overall pick, gets bags mm-hmm. too. I accidentally said Kingery was a rookie earlier. Those two guys are the guys that are right there rounds, middle rounds that could just explode, you know, power and speed, former good prospects that yet haven't quite broken out yet.
Yeah, you like the post-hype guys. The Cardinals, I think more than any other team in baseball, are famous for just finding guys come out of nowhere that we don't know anything about who end up being valuable. Paul DeJong a couple of years ago, Tommy Edman was that guy last year. I'm having trouble what to do with Edman, but then I see his ADP is around 130. I guess I could buy in at that position. And Miles Michaelis is an interesting guy, a pitcher who wasn't going to be ready for opening day, but then they push opening day back several months. ADP of 270 right now. I think Michaelis is a great value.
Tyler O'Neill's a guy with open at bats now because of the DH is interesting. I like Yadier Molina. He kind of jumps out to me among the catchers for whatever reason. Maybe it's just the batting average or whatever. I just see him whenever he falls in drafts. I like his value certainly more than Edmund. I've been seeing people believe in him a little bit more than I've been willing to so far.
It makes me sad to look at the Pittsburgh Pirate lineup. When I hear that Tampa Bay, I'm sorry, that Toronto may play games at PNC, I'm like, well, can we just cancel the Pirates season and let the Blue Jays have the park? But there's some interesting guys here. Brian Reynolds has a really good batted ball profile, and he's certainly got a job. He'll probably bat second or third on this team. And Kevin Newman qualifies at both middle infield positions. You can get both of these guys just inside pick 200. We know Josh Bell is a stud, but I mean, you know, just the real estate, the extra at bats, I think maybe they could be good values at those prices.
I think Josh Bell is a stud, an actual star, like his Statcast numbers. I think he's like bona fide top three or four fantasy first baseman. And Joe Musgrove, his shoulder was barking a little bit a couple months ago before the season. Now it says it's done him wonders. He feels great. The velocity is up, and a Musgrove with extra velocity has proven to be great. Musgrove's one of these guys. Maybe the wins won't be there, but he's sneaky ace potential there. I like him quite a bit.
You're walking to a draft right now. I think you could take Cody Bellinger at one. And if you didn't take him at one, he wouldn't go that much further after that. This Dodgers team is loaded. It's overdue. I'm going to pick them to win the World Series, which, I mean, whatever. It's. I feel like I'm picking the obvious favorite. But even though they lost Price, who opted out, and they traded Maeda, fairly cheaply. At one point, they wanted to get rid of Jock Peterson to clear up some money and stuff. I just feel like this team, it seems like their roster is like two times deeper than everybody else's. They have good players at every position. They have viable backups at every position. It feels like their rotation is always seven or eight people deep. when in doubt, other than Kenley Jansen, who just makes me nervous with all the things that you seem to hear about him with his health. And then, you know, I think he tested positive for COVID, which he's over it now. But I don't have a lot of long-term faith in Jansen. But I look at like the top 15 draftable commodities on this team, and I think all of them make sense.
Mookie Betts projects as maybe an MVP this year, too. It's enough to make you ill. You know, it really is. It's sickening looking at this Dodgers roster as a Giants fan. It's absolutely loaded. I picked them to win the World Series as well. Urias, I like him. I'm aggressively taking Walker Buehler and Kershaw. I mean, aggressively. AJ Pollock is a sleeper later. Get you some bags. Alex Wood, Dustin May. Could go on and on. It's just, like I said, it's enough to make you sick to your stomach.
What do you think makes sense for Lux? Lux was a guy who I was completely out on in March, but now with, again, with the universal DH, it helps the bottom of that lineup, and it also maybe buys him some extra at-bats. I feel like I'm still not proactive on Lux, but he was somebody I wasn't going to take in March. What's your current stance on him?
I love Lux, the prospect long-term, but his market had been higher on him than I have, but maybe with this latest news that he's not locked in the starting spot, he'll drop down. So I've been seeing players or fantasy drafters more willing to get him. I didn't really see the bags or the power right away, so I was more with you there.
There are three teams with young talent that I'm really excited about their futures. I just don't know if it's going to happen this year. The Padres are one of them, the White Sox are one of them, and the Blue Jays are one of them. We'll talk about the Padres right now. Chris Paddock would probably be my sleeper Cy Young pick. His ADP is around 50. He's going to start opening day. We know Petco is a really good place to pitch. And generally, that division is filled with safe landing spots. Man, that guy's stuff is nasty. I wasn't aggressive with Paddock last year. You had to be as his ADP kept rising. I'm not even saying his ADP right now is cheap. But if I were doing like a FOMO draft or a FOMO, you know, salary cap league right now, I think I just have to have a Chris Paddock share because I want that appointment television once every 5 days.
Yeah, I got three teams at 40 or 50 to one in March, and they were the Padres, Reds, and White Sox. So we're close there. Reds have dropped the most since then. With you on Paddock, absolutely love him. Can't draft him high enough. I'll also say Garrett Richards. It's such a different environment now in the NL. Petco is always thrown hard. Maybe the whip won't be so pretty, but if he does get that control improved, monster upside with Garrett Richards. But yeah, Padres, really interesting team. I mean, I think Machado is going to bounce back with a big year. I think Jerickson Profar is a sleeper if Tommy Pham stays healthy. Will Myers is the guy, one of the five most increased universal DH guys open up, and he speed, it could get you speed too. So I know with Petco hurts you, you don't think of it as a fantasy team for offense, but Padres really really an interesting roster that I can think could go deep into the playoffs.
And there's been some infrastructure changes around the park. It hasn't been as home run depressing in recent years as it was, you know, maybe in the middle of the decade. So it's not as much of a kill shot for offense as it used to be. I'm also in a total boring, nobody wants to draft this guy stance. I'm actually kind of interested in Eric Hosmer, just in the idea that the rest of the room will say, oh, I'm sick of that guy. He's not that good.
And really simple. I want to say good luck, by the way, if they do the postseason with Yates, Pomeranz, Pagan, and now they traded for Tim Hill. And what if Strom has upside? I mean, that bullpen is sick, too.
Yeah, a lot of lights-out arms there. You're back to Hosmer. I think we've sometimes fallen into a mistake of a player has a contract that doesn't make sense that we hold it against the player, or a player is overrated in real life. We just want the numbers. He's going to play every day. He'll hit for an acceptable average. He'll be around other good offensive players, which will provide buoyancy to his run production. Again, it's a boring pick. There's nothing sexy about it. Nobody goes to the draft with their Hosmer jersey on. You're ready to draft Eric Hosmer. But I think he's a very nice value just because he's just one of those boring guys.
Like Votto. I'd say just like Votto. Those two boring veteran first basemen that are definitely available late. They could be hitting, you know, second or third in their lineups.
Now, Madison Bumgarner, you and him had a lot of good times in San Francisco. He's now on Arizona. They threw a boatload of money at him. Of course, they've changed the flow of that park in recent years, and now I guess it's kind of neutral, maybe even a little bit pitcher favoring. But with all the mileage on Bumgarner, I found myself out on him. But the price is affordable. His ADP is around 142. What's your stance on Bumgarner this year?
I love the guy. He's a national hero, treasure. Do you know his ERA in the World Series? I just looked this up. 36 innings. Is 0.25 his career. I mean, that's just crazy.
Pretty good.
Five innings out of relief after just pitching the day before, seemingly just a monster. But the home road splits have been massive the last couple years. In San Francisco, just that dense air is just one of those extreme pitchers' parks. Really limits power. I love him and I hope I'm wrong, but at the price, I've been passing on him. I've been in on Zach Gallen. He's one of those helium guys people love, but I've been in on him at his price. But I hope I'm wrong. Bumgarner, I'm rooting for him, and it's kind of fitting that he's going to go down as the last pitcher to ever hit a home run in a baseball game. Good for him. It's funny that he chose and he wanted to stay in the NL to bat, and now he won't again. But love Mad Bum, but I'm out on him in fantasy leagues.
I don't have a hook on the Giants here. I'm looking at their July ADPs, and there's not a single player on this team in the top 330. I can't remember that ever happening. And the guy who's listed first is Tony Watson, who's just obviously strictly just a saves grab. If I were to draft somebody here, and look, they're all cheap. A lot of these guys you could even pick up for free. I think maybe Yastrzemski might be real. I've been wrong on Kevin Gausman a lot, but at least he's going to the right park. I still think there's talent there. He's pitching for his next contract. I would take Samardzija maybe in a deeper league or spot starter, that type of thing. But I'm afraid this could be the worst team in the National League.
I mean, even Longoria and Belt are hurt too. Even if you're in really deep fantasy leagues and you're looking hitters, for at-bats, they're hurt too. So what?
Posey opted out too. Yeah. I mean, your three most important offensive players aren't here.
Totally forgot about that. Yes, Posey opted out too. So they're an interesting team with a bright future, and I like their rebuild, and I'm totally in on them for a franchise, but it's definitely going to be ugly this year. First, must be noted that right field, they're changing the bullpen. The dimensions are completely changing. I don't know how drastic it's going to be. Again, it's historically by far the toughest on for lefty power, which makes Bonds all the more crazy. So that's maybe if you're in a deep, deep league, Alex Dickerson has looked good at the plate before. But for the most part, your standard fantasy league, it's all about Kevin Gausman for me. I went my other podcast with Chris List, straight up bet against Johnny Cueto. He has, man, Gossman's like a former number four overall pick that's lived in the AL East with horrible defensive teams, a huge park, awful lineups they have to face constantly. Now he got a 14.8 swinging strike percentage last year, which is really good. Again, the good pedigree, the good stuff. The great Grant Brisby just compared him almost identically to the stage of the career when the Giants traded for Jason Schmidt. Now, I'm not sure Gossman's going to start contending for Cy Young's immediately, but there's an interesting comparison, and given his pedigree and the massive change in circumstances and how late he costs in fantasy drafts, it's Gossman and no one else in the Giants.
I mean, maybe you could say, because remember Gossman on the Orioles for several years, they've had so much trouble figuring out their young pitching.
Right.
Maybe the Orioles are to pitching as Adam Gase is the offensive skill talent. Like the moment, and granted, Gossman has been other places and hasn't really done much. So it's not like it's his first year out of Baltimore, but still, you know, we look at how many guys have survived Adam. You've gotten rid of Adam Gase in their lives. You know, Devontae Parker popped, Tannehill popped, Kenyon Drake eventually figured things out in Arizona. Maybe the Orioles are just one of those things, you know, Arrieta got out of there. Things went well. There are a list of guys who have escaped Baltimore and figured out who they wanted to be. So maybe Gossman can add his name to that list.
I'm going to miss eating the crazy crab there at 18. I believe it's called Oracle Park now. Seeing the new dimensions, missing baseball this year for sure. But I can't wait to watch it. And Marco Luciano is a 18-year-old shortstop, top five dynasty prospect right now. And Joey Bart, they might, a month into this year, call him up to play catcher, and he'll be one of those prospects that people would run to the waiver wire to get. So if you're in a really deep league, Joey Bart is actually the other Giant to kind of have your eye on.
But you got to love a guy whose surname is the same as the local public transit system. That's probably exactly some good karma there. Yeah. We'll transition to the American League. And look, I grew up in New England, so you know I'm not a Yankees fan. They look so much like the Dodgers. They look just so overwhelmingly loaded on paper. It's hard to pick against them. But then again, I look at their top eight players by ADP. How healthy is Judge going to be? How healthy is Stanton going to be? You know, LeMahieu right now is on the injured list. Chapman won't be ready to start the season. James Paxton, even in a 60-game season, I have to assume he's going to get hurt at some point. I really want to pick somebody else. Right now, I'm still leaning on the Yankees to win the division, but I desperately want to pick Tampa. I feel like Boston's lost too many guys. Toronto, we don't even know where they're playing. We know Baltimore won't win the division. But for a team that I consider prohibitive favorites, I have trouble drafting a lot of these Yankees.
I did pick Tampa to win the division. I love their pitching good depth. Got them at 20-1 win the World Series. I like them, man. I know it's so easy to say injury prone and that's it, but I'm not drafting Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge on my fantasy teams. I think that they need to prove it to me. Otherwise, they're great hitters. They could each win the MVP. It's awesome. I hope they do stay healthy, but this stage, I'm concerned. Jordan Montgomery, an interesting sleeper. But I guess the guy I want to talk about most on the Yankees is Gerrit Cole, whom I think he's the number one pick in fantasy leagues, especially his overall contest with just like, you know, you compared him to running backs before these pitchers. I get it. He's changing parks and he got paid, but man, there's so few and far in between. And I don't know. That's my hot take, is that Gerrit Cole I'm going to have as my number one fantasy player entering this year.
Yeah, I was on board as saying I thought Tampa Bay was a great value to win the division before the season. And I'm not sure how much I'm going to adjust that. I still think they're a good value odds wise. If you want to get over to bet MGM and put some something down. But I get a little nervous when I look at the list of their ADPs and it's so pitching heavy. And it's like, okay, Austin Meadows is great. Their second drafted hitter is Brandon Lau, Hunter Renfro, Yandy Diaz. Willy Adames is their fifth drafted hitter. I just feel like they're missing two or three guys in this lineup.
I like those guys, though. Adames, I think, is going to break out. Renfro's healthier than ever. Yandy Diaz, whatever. His Statcast numbers are out of control. Brandon Lowe, Lau, I forget which one is which. I really like him as a breakout guy. Zunino. Yeah,
I'm probably mispronouncing everybody in this lineup, right. And I apologize for
no,
that.
I There's think no I am. No, honestly at all. Yeah, but the pitching is ridiculous. If Glasnow, Snell, and Morton, I mean, that top three can be matched by anyone. And then you're talking Chirinos. I'd love to see Brendan McKay report. But then Nick Anderson, Castillo, Alvarado, Chaz Rowe, the bullpen. I hear you with the bats, but they're built perfectly for that stadium. And they'll platoon the heck out of the players. I hear you, though. And Austin Meadows is very injury prone and currently on the IL. So maybe they don't have enough. They can't score enough runs. But again, I like Hunter Renfro as one of the cheapest sources of power. I've been ending up with him in a lot of my teams and Yandy Diaz. So I hear you, but I think that those are all good fantasy targets because they're too low on their ADPs.
Nick Anderson came out of nowhere last year, and I'm proud to say we were promoting him when he was 1% rostered in Yahoo League.
I remember you were way on him early on. You're not just saying right, that. Yeah. You were way. Remember I had to look him up. You were way on him, and it's insane. He's like one of the whatever few best pitchers in baseball right now.
And then he went to Tampa and was even better. But
stole him. This is the team gave him away. I remember
traditionally
that trade.
Likes to spread the saves around. Do we pay up the expected ADP for Anderson or do we get a little nervous?
We get nervous. It's all about saves and there's so few guys. So, I mean, he's so, so good, but they have so many options and why just save him for the saves? So I'm nervous enough to drop him, you know, below like 15 or so area just because I feel a little bit more confident in guys in their roles. But boy, oh boy, saves. Good luck, especially if you're in this overall contest where they've just been getting pushed up like crazy. It's wild any season, but now, I mean, it's especially crazy.
Does anybody pop to mind over the entire landscape, all 30 teams? Is there like a value closer that you find yourself gravitating towards? Before the season, I thought Hector Neris was going to be my guy. Last year, Kirby Yates was my guy, and that worked out great. And Neris, I still want to point to, you know, Kapler's gone. Maybe Girardi's more push button in the ninth inning. I just wish I knew Neris was 100% physically ready to go. But is there a value closer that's piqued your interest in the last couple of weeks of draft season?
Two guys I like, Joe Jimenez is the real deal pitcher-wise. I think he's very, very good skill-wise, and he should have the role. I don't know about the saves are going to be there for the Tigers. Maybe it's lucky, small sample. You never know. I mean, the projections on these teams aren't that wide. The other one is Mark Melancon. Will Smith's there, but he was currently on the IL or recently was, and he's just he burned the Giants with a bad contract, but healthy again, and he's, you know, been the veteran closer on a team that could win a bunch of games in Atlanta. So Melancon and Jimenez are the two closers I like the most in the mid rounds.
Yeah, I can see the setup for both. I'm worried about how many games the Tigers will win, but in the case with Melancon, it feels like most of the people in your league have probably been burned by him at one point. So that's just they're just not going to draft him, in some people's minds, like, oh, yeah, that guy's been around forever. What is he, 43? Yeah, I just think there's an emotional disconnect sometimes with a player like that where you're going to get him because other people, they're just giving up on the player. They just don't see him on the board. Like, I'm not drafting Mark Melancon. So I think you can get a discount there. My beloved Red Sox, man, I still think this lineup's really good. Obviously, they had the trade bets and people didn't like what they got for him. You know, but J.D. Martinez, Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts could be an MVP winner any season. I think Benintendi outside of the top 100 is actually a tremendous value, hit a bunch of injuries last year. And Alex Verdugo, you know, comes over. He wasn't probably going to be ready for the start of the season. He is now. I think his swing is really going to work well in Fenway Park. So I think this offense is great. The problem is I can't find anybody. I mean, look, there's going to be a closer here. I guess it's Workman. Maybe Matt Barnes takes that job if Workman can't get the hocus pocus working that he had last year where he kind of outperformed his peripherals. But I think this team's going to score a ton of runs, but I think they're going to probably allow more runs than they score.
Yes. I like Eovaldi, who, can you imagine the Red Sox opening day starter ever being this cheap? I just want him on my team when he does put it together, which maybe never. But I do find myself getting him. And then Jose Peraza, super late, the starting second baseman. And I've been reading up on him, and he's like retooled his swing. And I mean, it wasn't that long ago when he was looked like the next up-and-comer middle infielder people wanted on their fantasy teams. So in a good situation there, you said team's going to score a lot of runs. Maybe it delves into just a platoon situation with Chavis, but injuries will strike too. So Peraza, an interesting guy for speed late. And then Eovaldi, I'll probably get burned again. But Colesny situation, I'll just say, if I had to choose, I think Barnes is the better play there, if I had to pick between Workman and them. But it's probably,
available on a lot of free agent wires. I know our mutual friend Clay Link got him for $1 in one of his leagues yesterday. So really skilled. It's always nice we can get somebody for the minimum amount of fab. So well played, Mr. Link. Toronto, can I even call them Toronto? Whatever the Nomad Blue Jays. They were going to be one of a pet team that I was going to probably bet over on their win total and maybe even throw in like a long shot for them to make the playoffs or something. All this young talent, they have that legacy foursome up front, you know, Bichette, Guerrero, Biggio and Gurriel, you know, where they're all tied to other players with pedigree. And then they've all done something in the majors already. I love that Biggio wasn't caught stealing last year, but I just wonder what the effect of having no home has on this team. I've talked myself into Ken Giles. I didn't think I was going to draft him in March because I'm like, okay, they won't be contending. They'll, you know, what should a non-contending team do? Trade the closer. But I don't know in 60 games if this team is going to have time to play itself out of contention. And Giles, you know, everybody remembers he had a couple of hiccups in Houston. There was that one appearance where he got mad at himself. He started whacking his face with the glove. He's only blown one save in the last 2 years. I know blown saves are a little bit of a misleading stat, but his ratios last year were filthy. I think Ken Giles is going to pitch for the Blue Jays all season. And I think just around ADP 100, I think he's a terrific value.
Yeah, I think he's like fifth or sixth among my closers. I'm with you there completely. The big question here is, where are they playing? You hear me talk about park factors. I believe they're fairly important. And it just depends on if they're playing in Buffalo, maybe PNC Park. I don't know. That's a big factor here. So not knowing that, I'm all about Vladdy, love him. And Teoscar Hernandez was the interesting sleeper late with Pete speed and power guy. But yeah, it'd be nice to know where they're playing. It's pretty wild that we're starting the season in 4 days and they don't know where their home's going to be.
You know, I hear so many people say nice things about Teoscar Hernandez, and then his ADP is still just a giveaway. I mean, he hasn't gone higher than 260 in any draft this month. I mean, if people like him, how come nobody's drafting him?
I know he's got a cool name. He's got a cool name. He hits the ball really hard. He can even steal. I know. You're right. His ADP is very, very low. He's free still.
Maybe just shielded by, you know, again, some of the buzzy talent on that roster. I'm going to be honest with you, Dalton. I have nothing on the Orioles. I think this is the worst team in baseball, and I think it's right up there with your Giants, and I'm not trying to kick a Giants fan while he's down, but if Anthony Santander was healthy, I would have been in on him. We don't know that's true. We're not sure who their opening day starter is going to be. The closer isn't clear. They might get cute with that closer situation. Obviously, the best hitter in their lineup is out for the season with cancer. I don't know. Well, give me something good on the Orioles. I don't see it.
All right. My only take is Michael Givens. Hunter Harvey throws really hard, and he was named the closer a month ago. People remember that. Michael Givens is a better pitcher. He's actually quietly kind of good. I don't know if that's going to mean anything or translate into many saves, but that would be my only take, is I like Michael Givens on this team. But yeah, it's ugly, this situation, for sure. There are a few teams like that. My Giants, the Mariners, this team, yeah, the Marlins. There's some really like bad teams.
It's funny because I'm soon going to get to a bad team where I actually want to draft a bunch of players, and I'm not really sure why that's the case as we transition to the American League Central. I'm Scott Pianowski. You're listening to the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball Podcast, and we have Dalton Del Don, my longtime friend and colleague. We're going through all 30 teams speed round style, trying to get you ready for this 60-game sprint to the finish. And we hope everybody out there is having fun drafting and staying safe and staying positive and get some normalcy back into our lives. Minnesota Twins, man, what a lineup. I mean, they just set a record for home runs, all-time record for home runs. They have power at every position. I still think the idea that you can get Nelson Cruz outside of the top 60 in ADP is a great giveaway. Josh Donaldson, I think, is a sleeper MVP candidate. Garver had a breakout season, yet his ADP is only 120. I think Jose Barrios, you buy him at his floor. He still has upside. I've drafted Kepler a lot. Even Maeda, who's not cheap, I've drafted a lot. Other than Byron Buxton, who I'm just starting to think is just born under a bad sign, I can talk myself into just about anybody at this roster. You know, Sano makes me a little nervous too. But I look at like their top 15 ADP guys and what they're priced at, and I feel like they're good values. Like 12 of the 15 are guys I want.
Nelson Cruz had 41 homers, 108 RBI in 120 games last year. His WRC plus was the fourth highest in baseball. I mean, what a monster. I get that he's DH only and he's old, but I think his ADP should be higher. Really interesting team for sure. Sano is a guy I love. I just always, the stat cast hits the ball really hard when he does. But a big risk, no doubt about it, injury. And Buxton, what do you make of him? I mean, you're always the conservative. It's funny watching my guy Chris Liss end up with him in all these teams and then carted off. But he could be back, and man, the upside is out of control. So, I mean, I'm guessing you're staying away from Buxton.
Yeah, he strikes out so much, he's still going to hit ninth, which... Yeah, again, on a lineup that hits as many home runs and scores as many runs, it's not that big of a deal, but you're losing in a bat every game.
Yeah.
And maybe they might even pinch hit for him sometimes. I mean, what's more frustrating than that? He's 0 for 3, and then he comes up in the eighth and they pinch hit for him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay. I mean, I hear you with that. Definitely a floor for sure. But so, no, that's an interesting team. Yeah, Donaldson could win the MVP. So Max Kepler is cheaper. I mean, he could get you Eddie Rosario's numbers cheaper. So really, just a really loaded team, no doubt about it. They could win the World Series.
I wasn't going near Mike Clevinger in the spring because he wasn't going to be ready. I didn't want to make any assumptions. And if anybody drafted him, man, did they get a great value. His ADP has swelled all the way up to 20 overall in this month. I think he's a great – I'm not even sure sleeper for Cy Young qualifies. I think he's just a great a Cy Young candidate. You know, he's a guy that you could realistically get in on. And as far as the old, boring, versatile veteran case goes, Cesar Hernandez is one of my most commonly drafted players because he's going to hit for good average. He's going to run some. He's going to hit, you know, over a full season, he probably hit double-digit home runs. Looks like he's going to be their leadoff guy. And his ADP right now is around 244. I love the boring, reliable, versatile veterans, and Hernandez seems to check all of those boxes.
Clevinger, totally the real deal. Cy Young caliber for sure. My guy, Franmil Reyes. How can we talk about this team without him? Monster. It's really nice when the guy has 40 homer type power, obviously, in a given season, who can also hit like 265 and not 220. And Reyes will do that. A more of a deeper league, I do expect Brad Hand to bounce back and be like a top three closer. But James Karinchak, if that's saying it right, he's nasty right behind him. Going to strike out a ton of batters, and he'd be the replacement if something were to happen to Brad Hand. But another team that looks really good. But yeah, Reyes getting out of Petco, expected monster year. And Oscar Mercado is one of those power speed guys kind of lurking there too.
You know, the White Sox, they have been all season, all like winter, with a team I could not wait to watch play. And I just wonder how soon this can all gel. I mean, Yasmani Grandal goes to a new team. Luis Robert doesn't have had any resume yet in the major leagues, but I mean, he could be a rookie of the year candidate. I've always been a Moncada guy. Obviously, Eloy Jimenez, once he started to get his feet wet last year, looked like a monster. And then, you know, Tim Anderson, one of my all-time favorite players, because so what he swings at everything. He just won a batting title. People are waiting for him to hit 230, and he never does. He either hits for a league average batting average or a plus average. Last year, he won the title. Power and speed, ADP around 90 right now. I mean, they're just giving away Tim Anderson to you. I think you should take it.
He's great. Yeah, and he thought batting average was going to be a problem, and he ended up leading the league in batting average. Luis Robert, I'm a little bit lower on than the market. Usually I'm in on the rookies, but I worry about, speaking of batting average, I do worry about his downside there with all the Ks. I could see Aaron Bummer overtaking Colomé pretty easily. Closer role. Moncada was a guy I was just all in. I'm saying he's going to be a monster second round pick next year. Then he got COVID and I didn't draft him. And maybe that was a big mistake. Hope he's back healthy. Looking, he's back to the lineup already. The upside there is through the roof with Moncada.
You know, I love those boring veteran, you know, Abania's all-star types. And I think Whit Merrifield in Kansas City qualifies. His ADP's outside the top 60. Second base outfield eligibility. You can probably bet on a decent average there. Has a little bit of pop. And look, I know there's a lot of fluctuations to steals. There can be a lot of noise there, but he's not going to steal three bases. I mean, you know, he's over a full season, he would be probably 18 to 20 on a low season and maybe 30 to 35 on a high season. And on an unsexy team, I think he's an interesting value. I don't know if they'll look to trade Ian Kennedy midseason. I don't know what the trade market's going to look like. I don't know if we'll see a lot fewer trades, a lot more trades. You know, the Royals, I mean, they should be playing for the future anyway. But, I mean, Kennedy right now, his ADP is around 180. He's the clear closer. I think he has the stuff to handle it. I think most pitchers could be a closer if asked. So I like the price on Merrifield. I like the price on Kennedy. And Jorge Soler, you know, at ADP 100, he's getting no respect after a monster power breakout. I mean, this guy had a glittering pedigree when he was on the Cubs just a few years ago. Well, why aren't people believing in Soler?
Yeah, I don't have a ton to say about the Royals, but I will say, yeah, I agree with you. Soler is the real deal. You said the pedigree's there. Maybe he doesn't, whatever, the on-base percentage, because the walks are going to be there. But for fantasy owners, the home runs, are he's the real deal. And I expect him to continue to put up 40-homer-type pace power for the next few seasons. So I'm with you there. Pretty boring team. Franchi, Cordero, maybe finally get at bats if you're, whatever, in an only league or super deep. But yeah, Adalberto Mondesi is one of the biggest boom busts, I'd say, in drafts. You know, he could really be a difference maker in these overall contests with the bags, but who knows what you're going to get with him.
If I had to say in or out on Mondesi, what would you say?
I'm mostly out. Yeah, I don't find him on many of my teams.
Now, look, the Tigers were awful last year, and maybe the hope this year is they'll merely be bad, but it's funny. I have a lot of Matthew Boyd, wipeout slider. I like when the pitchers are the smart guys. CJ Krohn just needs a place to play every day. He's always hit for power, but he plays for these teams that want to jerk him in and out of the lineup. Detroit has nobody else really to stand in his way. His ADP is around 200, and Nico Goodrum, ADP around 276, three positions of eligibility. The average may be a tiny bit of a drag, but you know, if he hits 240, it's not as much of a kill shot as it used to be. And he's got power and speed, and he'll probably have good batting average real estate, albeit in a bad lineup, but you know, gets you the extra bat more often than not. So I am overweight on my rosters with Boyd, with Krohn, and with Goodrum.
I'm asked to write a column every year, one bust per team. And the problem with Detroit is I really like Matthew Boyd and I really like CJ Krohn a lot. I think especially their prices. Krohn's going to hit cleanup there and the ball, he really underrated power. So I went with Miguel Cabrera. People give me a hard time on Twitter. Maybe his legs are back and I know whatever. He's not like a super high pick, but people are buying into a bounce back there. And maybe if he's healthy, it's possible. But to me, CJ Krohn's one of the best first base targets at his price. And speaking of first base in Detroit, Spencer Torkelson, the kid they drafted first overall, going to be an absolute monster and soon. He's already a top dynasty commodity. So at least they have someone to get excited about. Nice for Detroit. Casey Mize, I don't think he made the roster. Interesting to see how his health moving forward is as well. But yeah, not a ton of help immediately in Detroit.
Yeah, I would think it wouldn't make any sense for Mize to pitch for them this year. I mean, why get that clock started? But he certainly got a bright future as a number one overall pick. The Astros, you would think, just from an emotional standpoint, benefited from this break. And you know, they were the bad guys of baseball a few months ago, and they were going to get booed out of every stadium. And now they may be playing in front of empty stadiums, a very veteran and star-heavy team. I think they're the obvious favorite to win the American League. I don't think I'm going out on any limb there, especially with all the injury concerns on the Yankees. But still, Verlander, you know, I mean, there were some injury concerns a few months ago. He's getting up there in age. He makes me a little bit nervous. I wonder if Altuve's at a point where he's not going to run anymore. You know, this is a team that doesn't like to run generally from the organizational top on down. Obviously, a new manager with Dusty Baker, and he's kind of a station-to-station guy. I think the Astros benefit from this break, but it's funny. I look at some of their bigger names, and I'm not sure I'm going to be proactive drafting them.
I love Yordan so much, but yeah, it's tough to grab him now. The setup is just so good for the pitchers in that division. Now Texas might be, or at least less of a extreme hitters park, and they face the NL West a ton, and the NL pitchers have to face the DH. So I like the Astros pitchers setup. Lance McCullers, if he stays healthy, Josh James, those are two of my favorite upside pitchers later in drafts. McCullers and James.
You know, for some reason, I always like a lot of players on Oakland. And, Marcus Semien's been a guy, long time, one of my favorites, improved his plate discipline. He was a horrible defender at short. He turned himself into a great defender. And we know Matt Chapman is, you know, kind of just another Donaldson, where he's a power hitter. He's a great defensive player, unbelievable defensive third baseman. These guys are just inside the top 100 in ADP. I think they're tremendous values. The guy I can't figure out is Liam Hendricks. He was really good last year. ADP right now is about 75, but we've seen Oakland turned over their closer so many years in a row, and sometimes it's just the guys find the pixie dust, they find the muscle memory, they
Trinan
find the release
point.
Trinan
just did it, came out of nowhere, looked awesome. Yeah, Trinan, yeah.
And then it's gone. I'm afraid to draft Hendricks, especially now that he's being treated as a top five closer. I think he's trapped.
You love Oakland because you visited the beautiful Coliseum one day, didn't you? Didn't you see it? You had the privilege, yes?
I was actually sick that whole game too. And we had first row seats right behind the dugout, and the game's a rumor. You can hardly tell what's going on.
Beautiful. Yes. But you mentioned the left side of that infield. I just noticed this. They are both finished top 12 in WAR last year. The left side of Oakland's infield, Chapman and Semien. AJ Puck, thankfully, bigger money leagues are the next 2 days because I was targeting him. But unfortunately, he went down with an injury right before we started recording. His shoulder, that's long been an issue. Man, some projection systems loved him. He was like this year's Paddock, you know, looked like immediate star as a rookie. But now he's obviously a stay away, which opens up an interesting sleeper in Chris Bassett. He's an interesting guy now. And I'll say I'm not totally in on Ramon Laureano's price. I kind of like Steven Piscotty later.
I'll also give Chris Davis a pass for last year. And yeah, he's DH only, but if you can get him to pick 175, I think over a full season, he easily would have hit another 30 home runs.
Too bad he didn't hit 247 for the sixth straight year, though, or whatever it is.
I think he can get back to his 247 ways. He was hurt last year. He's still young enough. I'm going to cut him some slack. Texas is a hard team for me to analyze. The new park, we don't know how it's going to play. I have no idea why they thought an outdoor stadium in Arlington was a good idea. I went to a game in August a few years ago, and I was just so glad when it was over. It was miserably humid, and all you could do is just try to survive it. It wasn't enjoyable at all. You know, just when I thought Lance Lynn's career was just about over, I liked him a lot in St. Louis, and he had a couple of years that bit me. And I said, okay, you know, I'm done with Lance Lynn. And now he's reinvented himself, and then the market believes in Lynn. His ADP is just an eyelash over 100. I'm not sure if that's a little bit pricey. And you know I love the boring veterans, the Baez All-Stars. There's maybe no player who symbolizes that more in this season than Sinsu Chu. Still does a little bit of everything. ADP outside of 230. I will take that all day.
I'm mostly with you as far as just being bored with this team and kind of staying away. Like I said, outside of Coors Field, they were by far the next best hitters park. And now we just don't know without that jet stream. So I guess I kind of like targeting the pitchers in that aspect. But does Lance Lynn, how's he going to bounce? How's he going to repeat that? How's he going to follow that up? Mike Minor is a nice pitcher. Leclerc has already been saying it's unclear if he's for sure going to be used in the ninth. I liked him to bounce back. So yeah, I mean, Odor is the cheap power speed guy with nice Statcast numbers, but he could hit 200 again. So yeah, this team, no one, I don't know. I don't love this team really, honestly, fantasy wise. Gallo, I would in his old environment could have just been, you know, a second round fantasy pick, but now we just don't really know. Obviously the power could play anywhere, but it really is just such a gigantic unknown with Toronto and Texas.
You know, I hate talking about the Angels because I feel like we have to skew nervous with Trout, nervous with Rendon, new team. He's dinged up now. I never know what to do with Ohtani. You know, Hansel Robles is presumptively their closer, but I don't think he's anything close to a sure thing. I just don't see guys I want to draft proactively here. How do you feel about the Angels?
Yeah, I like Ty Boutre to possibly overtake Robles at some point. Dylan Bundy, kind of similar to Gossman, coming from that NL East situation in a much better park and defense. Ohtani's so interesting. I'm not going to end up with him on any of my teams, no matter the format. If you get him two players or one player, I think he's just going to be tough. Starting pitcher just once every seven games and then DHing 3 to 5. That's too tough. Having said that, I think he could be a real life and a fantasy MVP next year. Swole, have you seen him? He's squatting 500 pounds. He looks swole. The guy could let him throw all the balls like he was throwing. I think he threw 50 pitch simulated and he threw only like 5 strikes or something. That's fine. Let him get the kinks out on someone else's team next year and just target this monster, man. I mean, he steals bases. Anaheim has played as the best park for lefty power since they moved his fences in, better than Coors Field even. So the setup there, I mean, like a star pitcher who steals bases and could hit a ton of for power. I mean, it's just off the charts. But we'll talk about that more next year. This year, it's just going to be tough for him to maximize that value given the lack of volume.
I mean, I'm still shocked at how good and how polished of an offensive player he was. When he first came over, I thought, okay, he'll be a great pitcher and they're going to let him hit because that's how they got him signed. He right. didn't want to give up the offense. I had no idea he had this much offensive ability. I mean, he's a true unicorn. I don't have much on Seattle other than this. Your goal in every draft should not have to be forced into a Malik Smith draft pick. He's the only guy who's inside the top 200 in ADP. Maybe Matt McGill's their closer, but this looks like just a teenage wasteland of a roster.
Super ugly. I think it might be because I'm with you to avoid Malik Smith. Get your steals taken care of before that point. My only thing I'll say is I'll say Austin Adams emerges as the closer for Seattle. But yeah, not much else here.
All right. So I'm going to pick two World Series matchups. What I think is going to happen and just what I would do if I wanted to get funky and pick something different. I'm picking the Dodgers over the Astros. You can write that down. That's my prediction. And of course, if that comes true, there's no victory lap to be taken because I'll probably be sharing that prediction with like half of America. If I'm going to get funky, how about the Twins over the Reds, something like that?
Like it. Dodgers over Tampa Bay, my official pick. And then my funky one, I'll say Reds over White Sox.
I like it. I like it. So that's about 45 to 50
speed. One thing I want to say, Pino. I would say Garrett Cole's 50-1 at MVP. Think of your fantasy draft right now without Trout. Isn't like the first four hitters National League? I know people are predisposed not to bet. You know, they get their own awards, Cy Young and all that. But I mean, I don't know about that. Go and bet MGM right now. 50-1 Garrett Cole to win MVP. What if he does have a monster year? I mean, what hitter? What name? All the Astros will monopolize each other, right? Their votes. What hitter stands out to you in the AL? I'm serious. 50-1 seems extremely like a long for the by far the game's best pitcher right now.
Plus, what if he just has some crazy thing where, you know, he makes 10 starts and he wins all 10 of them? Right, he goes 10-0, 1.37 ERA. Yeah. How are they not going
to
give it to him?
Yeah, 50-1. Anyway, sorry to cut you off. Saw that in my notes here. Let's do the draft. Sorry about that.
No, it's good stuff. I hope you've enjoyed our speed round fantasy and Major League Baseball preview. Again, Scott Pianowski and Dalton Del Don hanging with you. Now we're going to talk about things that have kept us somewhat sane during the last few months. It's been a really messy year for a lot of people. We hope people being safe. We hope people being good to each other. And, you know, listening to science, listening to the smart people in the room. That's what I try to do. Dalton, I'll give you the first pick. Tell us something that's kept you going during the last few months.
I'm just going to say the sun. So outdoors, vitamin D has been nice and healthy for you. It's just forced me to go on walks with my kids. The pool has just been a savior. Installed some solar panels and it's just kept us busy. And actually some exercise, swimming laps. So I'm going to say outdoors and the sun, which I've really made a point to get more than I ever have in my whole life.
Good pick. It ties in with what I'm going to pick here is golf. I've done a lot of work in the driving range. I've done a lot of reading on golf. You know, Harvey Penick's books I've reread, which are very good for the soul. I'm really tight with the guys in the Roto World. The RotoWire Golf League. We've been in that league for 20 years together. We all send emails to each other. Golf is one of the few sports right now that's actually playing. So I have something to look forward to every weekend. I play DFS with our Yahoo colleagues in a private league. So, and there's nothing quite like the well-struck golf shot when you just see that ball take off with the right trajectory. So it's become a haven for me. It's become a way for me to relax, and it's helped me the last few months.
Dude, golf is such a great sport for right now too. I mean, it's really set up well outdoors. You can separate. All right. I'm going to say the Nintendo Switch, kind of all over the place here, but I know that my kids spend too much screen time, but man, during quarantine, it's been a savior. My wife, God bless her, spends, you know, most of her time just entertaining these two children. I have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old. So the handheld device, you can use it on the TV. All four of us can play. You know, it's this generation's version of the board game, Mario Party. Or you can then remove it in handheld and, you know, go play on the screen. But I'm a horrible parent. Don't make any mistakes about that. Far too much screen time for the kids. But the Nintendo Switch has really helped out during this time.
Second round, I'm going to pick my dog Fenway. You can probably figure out why he's named Fenway.
You've had him for Fenway forever, right? That's be old.
Solid 10 years, yeah. And hopefully for many more, although you know, we're starting to get a little nervous about that. But star of the neighborhood. Neighbors I don't know his name. He's happy. He's happy to see me. He's funny. He's smart. He's, you know, I can't say enough how much a dog can add to your life. Truly man's best friend. So props to Fenway for helping me get through these difficult times.
That is a good one. All right. I'm going to cheat my own screen time here. You know me as a TV guy, P&L, but I've used this time to get caught up on old movies and old directors that just I never would have before. Like, you know, I had not seen Space Odyssey, some old Kubrick films that I just obviously should have. A couple Best Pictures that slipped through the cracks. Alexander Payne, I know your guy. I'd not seen Nebraska. Just some of my favorite directors that a few movies slipped through. So getting caught up on just movies that I've missed over the past 30, 40 years.
Great one. And I'll heartily endorse Payne, of course, who's my favorite director. I could watch About Schmidt anytime. I could watch Election anytime. I could watch Sideways. And, you know, sometimes it's not just watching a film too. I think one day I just decided just to read the Sideways script. It was online somewhere, and you get to see nuance. If it's an earlier version of a script, a lot of times you'll see things that, you know, kind of like a deleted scene or a scene that played out differently on screen than as it was written at the time. And to me, I'm just fascinated with the creative process and how things actually get done, even if it's something I don't care about. Like, I'm not an Eagles fan, but the documentary in the Eagles I thought was interesting. I'm not a Saturday Night Live guy, but I thought the oral history of Saturday Night Live was fascinating. So the creative process is always something that interests me. I'm going to list books as my third thing. Reading has always been one of my favorite things to do. I remember in the fourth or fifth grade, I was made fun of on the bus for reading. Of course, it was my older brother making fun of me, but I've done a lot more reading during the pandemic. And the great thing with reading is it's a way to get offline. It's a way to get off the grid and just get lost in a book. And, you know, I've read some nonfiction. I've read some fiction. I've read a lot of biographies, which is always one of my favorite categories. And I'm, of course, a huge documentary guy, but it's been a great time to read. And I welcome anybody out there, Scott_Pianowski, send me your book recos. You know, whether it's a Murakami book, it's a biography, it's a sports book, it's a historical book, whatever it is. I love a good book.
So I was going to say reading too, but I'm just going to say reading/nutrition. I've like delved into like just looking into health a little bit more than I never did, and just exercise, not just like just exercise, but, you know, I know you're going to think of coming from my podcast partner, Chris List, but seed oils and sugar, so bad for you. And if there's ever a time to look into that, it's when your immune system, it's right now dealing with this virus. So I've learned that I drank soda every day of my life, far too much of it. And I've cut all that out. So just reading, I'm with you, reading. And instead of just constantly about sports, you don't want to go down the political rabbit hole and take that red pill. Nutrition and health, it's really eye-opening out there. I mean, someone say our food pyramid, we were taught as kids, completely upside down. So just I'm with you to piggyback your reading. Look into your own health.
Great one. You look great, by the way, man. You look healthy. You look lean. You look mean. I dare I say you look like you might be in the best shape of your life.
Oh, boy.
So draft Dalton Del Don as a sleeper in 2020.
Bust season to follow. Disappointment to follow for sure.
Yeah. You're going to cut him in a couple of weeks, but you can at least draft him now. I'm going to go with music/podcasts because, you know, it wouldn't be a P&L draft if I didn't cheat and try to combine two things that maybe aren't that similar. But, you know, music, man, when I'm having trouble with flow or starting an article, I slap on the headphones and get some music going. And there's nothing better than just getting lost in a great discussion. Your podcast with Chris is excellent. I've gotten into the No Laying Up podcast, which is a golf podcast, which is really good. There's so many. It's a golden age for podcasts, obviously. And I'm excited that we have some really big plans. I don't know if I can talk about it yet, but we have some really big plans for the Fantasy Football podcast over at Yahoo. You're going to want to listen up to that. We have some things we're doing this year. So, golden age for podcasts, and I've always just been a huge music guy. So, you know, put the headphones on, and it's a great way for me to relax, think, or just get in a good zone.
Man, I think last time we did this, we didn't have any of the same picks, and you stole mine again. Great music. I've been catching up on some old classical stuff that, you know, some Bach. This year's actually had really good music. Fiona Apple and Bob Dylan have released two terrific albums. Could not recommend enough, so I have to come up with a different one. I'm going to say food pickup. What used to be such a mundane task is now like exciting. And sometimes I'll even find a restaurant 20 minutes away, and going on a drive with the kids is an actual thing now because we've been so quarantined at home. So food and, you know, not eating at home, you know, a different food, you know. So food pickup, something that used to be boring, is now like a special event. So we'll end with that.
Yeah, carryout was on my list. I'm glad you didn't take what I wanted to take, which is just contact with positive people, people who care about me, my friends, my girlfriend, my family, and just the people who, I think that it's so important right now to be informed, but maybe not dwell when news gets really negative. And it's just so important to be around the people who have your back or want the best for you and really care about you. And so this has just been a time to reaffirm how I care about my girlfriend, how I care about my friends, how I care about my family. And I can't thank them enough for all the stuff that they've done for me, just to try to keep me to see the big picture. We are going to get through this. It's going to take a while. I mean, it may take till next year. I don't really know. You know, we just previewed a baseball season. We can't say with any positive comment that they're going to play the full thing. But I think it's very important to be around positive people. And I thank every day the positive people in my life who try to make things better for me. And I try to give reciprocity to them.
Well said. Human contact. Great. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I've gotten only closer to the people that I was super close with. And yeah, I mean, I consider you a good close friend. And yeah, I well said, you know, and love talking with you and doing this silly podcast. Yeah, man. I hope we can watch some baseball and get back to some normalcy.
Thanks, man. Want to give props to the whole Yahoo family, you know, from Jason Kabaka, the editorial head of fantasy on down. Raghu, our producer, does a great job with this podcast. You know, Brett, who's the head of Yahoo Podcast, is fantastic. You know, Liz, Andy, Matt, just great guys to work with. Mo Castillo is awesome guy. So a family, you know, Verizon and Yahoo has been really cool during the pandemic and understanding about the needs and the concerns of the people who work here. And I feel very fortunate to be part of that family and under that umbrella. So that's a solid hour plus. We hope we gave you something to think about, something to be positive about. Looking forward to some baseball. Hopefully we can get through a full season. Again, hey, let's be smart. Let's see the big picture. Let's be good to one another. For my amigo Dalton Del Don, for producer Raghu on the West Coast, keeping us sounding great, getting us on the air, I am Scott Pianowski. We will have baseball results to talk about next week and more fantasy baseball stuff for you. Until then, go draft a team on Yahoo. We'll talk to you soon.